awesome morning party.
Get ready, gentlemen. Brace yourselves. This is it.
3, 2, 1.
I don't know that there's a better way to start your Wednesday morning.
Probably not.
I'm just saying.
There's a tiny hair on this microphone and it's killing me.
Get it!
It was poking right in my nose.
You don't see the writing on the wall.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome to Team Awesome Morning Party.
Moving straight ahead, you knew it all.
We are like up in Adam this morning.
We up in Adam.
We excited.
We up in Adam.
Stever had a French press waiting for us when we got to work this morning.
It's crazy.
We got a crazy interview this morning.
It's Cray Train up in here. Cuckoo!
Coming up.
I made that up and nobody laughed until you just now. I even showed it to Dawn a few times and she was like, huh?
That's hilarious.
Cray Train. Cuckoo.
Yeah, no,
that's
I got
what
you.
I thought.
That's pretty amazing.
I'm ahead of my time.
You really are.
I'm ahead
you
of
really
my time. In 20 years, they're going to say he was a genius.
Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we have an author that I'm curious how it's going to go over.
Because I'm going to be dead in 20 years.
He wrote a book called Is Sunday School Destroying Our Kids?
Ooh.
So we're going to talk about this because it kind of takes a pot shot at tons
or,
of people who,
or does it?
Who volunteer their time week in and week out.
Is it controversial?
I don't know. We're going to talk to him coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. But coming up right now,
random phone call.
Static!
Cuckoo! Dig it.
Yeah!
Hey, question for you.
What? Answer.
The Theology Thursdays, is that going to be podcasted?
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
Awesome.
Yes. It's going to be incredible. Did you hear us talk with Beenix yesterday on the radios?
Yes, sir. I was actually podcasting it.
Ah, yes.
Like 7 hours ago.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. People are pretty pumped. Yesterday, Skip came back here.
Yeah.
And said, hey, looking forward to Theology Thursday. It was like, cool.
You listen.
Yeah, you guys used to do that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did it back in
the
day.
Yeah, it's going to be a full-on hour. It's going to be pretty intense. I'm excited.
Well, we have a separate podcast for it like we do Shock Therapy. Maybe we should make one.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
We'll see.
We'll see.
It'll either be on the Team Awesome Morning Party one or we'll have a separate one.
Yeah.
You should do a separate one. It should be more user-friendly for people such as myself.
There you go.
What's wrong with you, user?
User-friendly. No props. Let me create a web page for that.
Yeah, hang on.
Yeah.
I'm doing it right
That's
now.
What I'm talking about.
Oh, good.
Programmers.
There you go. He's doing it.
Just doing some.
I believe in you.
Just doing some HTML right now. Binary computer.
Right on,
language.
Man. Well, thanks.
Well, thanks, fellas.
All right. Yeah, have a great day.
You too. Later.
All right.
Bye.
Static.
Hey guys, good morning. It's Mark the Bus Rider. Rider.
Yes, Rider Mark.
What's up?
Hey, so yeah, I am a Sunday school teacher, so I'm looking forward to contributing
nice.
To your conversations earlier.
Oh man,
later today.
I'm gonna put something up. Do you have any questions for
yes,
this guy?
Yes, especially if you volunteer your time as a Sunday school teacher. Yeah, the book's called Is Sunday School Destroying Our Kids? And it's about moralism suffocating the gospel of grace. So
wow.
It's gonna be really, really interesting.
Probably. I'm super psyched to hear about it.
Yeah. So. So we'll see.
We'll see.
Cool.
We'll see how it goes. It's coming up at 8 o'clock.
All right, then I'll talk to you guys later.
Yeah. All right, Bus Rider Mark.
All right, bye.
All right, later. Yeah, I'm really excited. We booked this interview before the Christmas break, and I got a copy of the book right here. Sam Williamson, he's the founding director of Beliefs of the Heart. His mission is to help us examine the unexplored convictions that drive us.
Ooh.
Apparently studied European intellectual history at the University of Michigan. But finding no jobs in European intellectual history, he spent 25 years in business.
Mm.
The last two decades as an executive and owner of a software company.
There you go.
Yeah.
Boop, boop, beep, boop,
he has four grown children and an ever-increasing number of grandchildren. So we'll see, man. We shall see. But he talks about how we destroy the gospel message through Sunday school. So I started reading it, and man, it's going to be interesting.
It's going to be interesting.
If you'd like to chime in, if you'd like to get some questions ready for him, facebook.com/mystaticradio. Go and be good. We also have a little show called Shock Therapy Live coming up.
Hey.
Yeah. Getting back in the swing of things. It is Wednesday, so that's coming up. Get to our Facebook page. If you don't like us already, like us. Hang out with us. Friend us.
Guess what I found out?
What?
This album comes out next, the 21st.
Yes!
21st. Yeah.
I can't wait to hear it, man.
And
I'm
they have a new
this.
Single.
New Kai Kai!
Yep.
It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static!
Turn on the news!
I have a little news flash.
We interrupt for this breaking news.
Hey, y'all, it's me, Grandpa Friend.
Oh, no!
Happy New Year. Merry Christmas, Steve.
Miss you, Grandpa Friend.
Merry Christmas.
Haven't talked to you in a while.
You know about it.
I do.
Don't let them take it from you now.
Proclaim it.
You know what they took from me?
The name it.
My cable.
Oh, no!
Yeah.
Did you miss your stories?
Yeah. I did. I got home from my Christmas vacation. What I do on Christmas is I walk over the other side of the mountain that I live on and hunt bears.
Okay.
Don't tell the government now. They'll get mad at me now. And I'm just trying to live up there. I got a fireplace and got a cast iron stove and whatnot, but that ain't gonna heat my whole cabin. I live in a 300,000 square foot cabin. It's a mountain. My cabin is the mountain.
So you live in a cave.
My ceiling is the stars.
Okay.
And my floor is the dirt.
Okay.
And my bed is the rock. It's my bedrock.
What?
You seen the Wheel of Fortunes. You seen it. Anyway, I get home to my bedrock and they cancel my cable.
Wow.
That's my one amenity I got.
I'm
now.
Sorry.
My modern amenities is the one that I got is cable. I don't got the plumbing. I ain't got no shower. And I ain't got no swimming pool, movie stars. I ain't got that. I got cable. That's all. And now I don't even got that. And I was like, Lord, what I do? What am I guilty of? Take this away from me.
Well, did you pay your cable bill? Did you pay it?
No.
Okay, well, I'm
thinking. And then he said, you didn't pay your bill.
Okay.
And I was like, but Lord, it's too expensive. And I got this all rigged up at where they ain't supposed to know that I'm getting this cable.
Do you think maybe you're putting it on the Lord when really maybe it was just a consequence of your actions not paying your cable
now,
bill?
Okay. Now, I had it all rigged up, but they ain't gonna know about it. I got my nephew come over, and he works at the softwares with the company, and he came over, and he's like, hey, now you can get all these channels for free, because I done this, and so I gave him, like, money. He wanted money. That's all the kids want nowadays is money. So I gave it to him, and then here I come home after Christmas, other side of the mountain, and I got brand new bear skins, and then I come home and turn on the Wheel of Fortune, and it won't cut on. All it's got on there is a little screen that says, it's, like, channel unavailable.
Oh, man.
That's it. And I was like, oh, no. So then I flip every channel, unavailable. And I got down on my knees and I was like, Lord, what'd I do this time? What'd I do? And then he's like, well, you've been stealing cable for like 3 years now. And I was like, it ain't stealing. Nephew rigged it up for me. It's on him, Lord. I paid him for it. I'm free and clear of this. I paid my debt. I paid it. Out of kindness in my heart, Lord, I made you this soup. And then he's like, nope. So now I got to figure out something. Can I come over and watch that Wheel of Fortune with y'all?
I'm thinking probably not, Grandpa Friend.
Come
I'm sorry.
Man.
We got church tonight. I'm not going to be home.
Where you go to church at?
Right here.
In the studio?
Skip's picking back up in the Book of Numbers tonight.
So is it that rock solid?
That's
Sundays. I'll tell you about it. I'll tell you about the rock solid right now, is that on the mountain, that's all that is rocks, and they solid as a rock. You remember that song? Solid as a rock. You remember that?
I remember it, Grandpa Friend.
Hey, you want to hear some news?
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's cold.
That's not really news.
No, it says it right there. It's cold.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Founder of Amazon.com
Jeff Bezos had to be flown home from his vacation in Galapagos Islands because of kidney stones. Well, by gum, I say if you got kidney stones, you've been drinking too many Cokes is what I say.
Mm-hmm.
You need to drink some water.
Yeah.
That's just common sense. I've been looking at Farmer's Almanac. This cold's going to last about 6 more months. Y'all ain't seen me in months as it is.
Mm-mm, yeah.
I come down from the mountain, trying to get a little warmer, thinking, oh, it'll be warm down in that valley down there by the Rio Grande.
A bear did that to me and Mateo once.
I heard that bear told me about that.
Yeah.
I can talk to animals.
Yeah.
I'm just like at the beginning of Snow White. When the animals come up to me, I'm like, what's up? And they're like, cheep, 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 cheep. And I'm like, oh, man, that stinks. They're telling me about their bills, too. Dennis Rodman's in North Korea again.
Oh, man.
Nobody's happy about that.
No.
In Kentucky, a man... Now, listen this. I seen this on your news last night when I was watching through the window. Listen this. In Kentucky, a man who just escaped from prison turned himself back in to escape the frigid weather because he escaped prison. Prison, now.
Yeah.
He was in the clink.
Yep.
Prison Mike runs out into the woods, and he's like, I'm out. Oh, man. And he spent a day out there, and then here comes the second nightfall. Second night, and he's like, man, this is stupid, man. I'm going back to prison because it's so cold.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? That
happened. He chose prison over the cold air.
He chose the prisons over the cold, and you know what happens in the prisons. Just craziness. Like, people just... They lost their moral compass before they got in there, so when they're in there, they ain't gonna find it.
Yeah.
Unless they go to the chapel.
Yeah.
Go to the chapel if you're in prison now. A man in China suffered a collapsed lung after he yawned a bit too hard.
Wow.
Yeah, watch out for yawning, y'all. I've been trying to tell everybody 60 years now, yawning is a disease. We're supposed to be diligent workers for the Lord, and if you out there yawning, then you just sinning. You need to quit. You're gonna burst your lung out. Quit yawning. A new report says Americans are eating more butter than they have in the last 40 years. I'll tell you why. It's because all them models are so skinny, and everybody's like, oh no, I gotta lose like 87 pounds in 2 weeks with this diet pill.
So then they're eating butter?
Yeah, and that's what happened over the past 20 years is all these people got so skinny, and now they just cold. they so cold because they ain't got no meat on the bones. You look over here at Grandpa Friend's gut right here, and it's huge. Some people say I got a six-pack. I'm like, hey, man, I got a cooler right here. I got the whole cooler. And so I've been eating butter. 48 years right now, coming up on it, and I just eat a stick of butter every meal. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snack. Butter. Hey, do you see that new TV series called Intelligence about the cop with the micro computer chip embedded in his head?
We started to watch that last night, actually.
And then you realize that was the mark of the beast, and you got out of there.
Yeah.
I was talking to my friends over in the 666 Warning Assembly. It's a small two-location church up in Idaho, and there's one in Washington. And what they do is they build barricades around the building because they got signs everywhere up in the yard saying, hey, end times.
Right.
Hey, end times now. But they believe weird stuff, too. They say that when we say Jesus, we're really just saying some devil name because that wasn't his real name. I think they're a cult.
Yeah, you should probably just steer clear of them.
Well, they're crazy, but I'll tell you what, they can make some stew now. Their rabbit stew is beautiful, and they love the environment now, and they're taking care of all them trees. Now, I like that. Oh. The trees is my friends.
Right. Of course, makes sense. Grandpa friend.
In the latest edition, Time Magazine, you ever read that?
Not much, no. I don't have the time.
I see what you did with your joke there, and I don't appreciate it.
Sorry, Grandpa.
Because that's disrespectful.
My bad.
It's a magazine.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Been running for like 60-some years.
Yeah.
You better respect it. Hey, straighten up. In the latest edition of that Time Magazine, the research indicates that despite what
social commentators say on the major issues of the day, America ain't really as divided as it seems. They say that's just a media skew.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I like?
Mm.
Media stew. Let me tell you about it. You get kill a couple rabbits, kill a couple squirrels. You get some root of binumbrum off of the bushes. And then you get some ginger root from local Chinese place. And then you mix it all together. And then that is media stew.
Gotcha.
Because it's all the flavors. Every one of them.
Wait.
You put sugar and honey in there. And then you get some radishes. That's real bitter now. You put kale in there because kale's like healthy. And then you put that... And because ain't none other vegetable healthy as kale. I'll tell you that.
Wait, I thought we just learned that it wasn't super healthy, that it's just...
You ain't listening, like water and... You ain't listening not even a bit. I'm frustrated that you, friend.
I'm sorry, Grandpa.
It's the new year. You're supposed to be having your listening. Hey, God gave you one mouth and two ears. Which one are you supposed to use more of? Tell me that. Simple math. Dummy. I love you, but you dumb. Bless your heart. You're ugly, too. And by ugly, I mean you look great, but your spirit's stupid. Bless your heart now. Hey, you like that snowboarding, don't you?
I love it.
You love snowboarding.
I love snowboarding.
A pair of snowboarders, they's up on some mountain out in Montana at the... They's chasing the moose. Now, they's out there snowboarding, and they said, man, I'm bored. You get it? And so what they did is they said, hey, what's that? Hey, we'll say that one of them's name was Chad, and the other one's name was Chad Brad. And they was like, Chad said, hey, Chad Brad, what's that over there? And he's like, I don't know, Bri Chad. Because his first name was Brian, but they called him Bri Chad. Bri Chad and Chad Brad, let's go. Let's chase that moose right there. And they was like, yeah, the ladies will love us with our sweaters tied around our waist. And our turtlenecks on.
I don't think they look like that anymore.
And so then they there they go. And you know what they got to do?
Huh.
They got paid $2,500. $225.
What?
Yep. For harassing the wildlife.
In Montana?
If I was there, I'd have been talking to that moose. I'd said, hey, moose, what's happening? And he'd have been like, well, they're chasing me. Them people, they're chasing me again. And I'd have said, go kill them.
Grandpa Friend!
What? This is the animal kingdom. It's dog eat dog out there now. It's eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. You can't... Now, you watch them PETA things, and they're like, oh, animals are so sweet. Look at this killer whale. Next thing you know, killer whale killing somebody at SeaWorlds.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, why are they trying to keep them things in the swimming pool? Mm-hmm. You sink that blackfish?
Mm-mm.
It's a documentary.
I know, I can't.
Why?
I'm too sensitive.
You sensitive about the killer whales?
Yeah, I'm sensitive.
You ain't a man. Hunter Lamoro and Charlie Rush stumbled across a moose last... I guess the name wasn't Chad Brad and Bri Chad after all. It was Hunter and Charlie. That sounds like a couple good fellas if you ask me. But I guess not. They was harassing it. Man, I got so much news here. You want me to just keep reading?
Well, it's actually already almost time for birthdays.
I'll keep reading then. Let's see. Fridge tied to smartphone. Greenpeace improving mental health. I can go on for days.
I bet you could, Grandpa Friend.
You kicking me out?
I don't want to kick you out, but it's like almost time for birthdays. And
I'm going to go.
All right.
I'm going to go back up the mountain.
Enjoy it. Talk to your nephew.
Bye now.
He can work out some cable deal with you. It'll work out.
Hey, Grandpa Fred. Don't talk to me. That boy's mean. Why? What did you say to Grandpa
Fred? I didn't say anything to him.
He
just kept talking.
He seemed really upset.
Talking. Something about cable. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
That was the longest bathroom trip I've ever seen in my entire life.
I had to go.
I know, but
come on.
Had to
talk to a man about a horse.
You don't leave me alone with Grandpa Friend because he just goes on and on and on and on.
What's he going to do? Is he going to hurt you?
I don't know.
You should feel safe with that man.
Good news is...
What?
It's 6:45.
Oh, wow. I was in the bathroom a long
time. I know, because it's already time for birthdays.
Oh, birthday is a doodly-doo, a ding-dong, goodly-doodly-ding-dong-doo.
Hey.
Hey, Steven.
Did you get sick of the Beatles, maybe?
No. You know the Beatles?
Well, I was just wondering.
No.
Nah, this is fine.
This is great.
This is totally cool.
Okay. It's time for birthdays.
I can hear that.
Today is a fantastic birthday day.
Yeah, it is. Do you know something I don't know?
Oh, I know a bunch of birthdays today.
Okay, it's day 8 of 2014. There's only 357 days remaining.
Yeah.
Do you have any local things you want to list?
We have a few.
Number one, Jason Smithel.
Yeah, owner of Square Root Salon, one of our dear friends.
Lover of traffic.
Yes.
He loves traffic so much.
Yes. Today is his birthday.
Today is his birthday.
And he is an amazing man.
He turns 19.
Yeah.
19th birthday.
Today is also the wonderful Magdalena Aurora Belleville's birthday.
Oh!
Maggie Belleville!
Maggie Belleville!
There you go.
She is 11 years old today.
And wow. The world will never stop spinning.
To steal Joey's joke, this one goes to 11. This one goes to 11! She's 11! I remember the day she was born. Gosh, man.
I do too.
So it's Maggie's birthday. Happy birthday, Scraggles. I love you.
Only 357 days remaining in this year, and we'll be right back at Maggie's 12th birthday.
That's
here.
Crazy, dude. Tom, Maggie is 11 years old.
365 days.
And I know birthdays. I think because of Jason and Scraggles.
Yeah,
I know some good.
Okay,
birthdays
well here's
today,
the deal. Maggie shares the. Birthday with Charles Osgood, the Osgood File.
That's who I know.
Who's that?
Come on, the Osgood File.
I know
Sunday CBS Sunday Morning News.
Heck yeah.
I know Osborne.
How old do you think Charles is?
Oh, man, 73.
Oh, 74.
He's 81.
81.
Yep. Another birthday.
Fantastic.
That cute little girl from Sleepless in Seattle and Field of Dreams.
I don't know.
Gabby Hoffman.
Gabby Hoffman.
She actually played a CNN reporter on Homeland one episode as well.
Wow. Wait a second. I think today is the birthday of a huge, maybe even a king.
All right.
Maybe.
That's yep. on.
I just remember.
How old's Gabby?
Is.
Gabby is 36. No, I don't know.
Gabby is 41.
She's 32.
Ah! Gabby! Yeah.
That little girl from Fields of Dreams, the one that fell off the bleachers and was choking on the hot dog.
Mm-hmm.
No?
Oh, man, that's scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a lady.
Y'all, that's scary. Hey, there's a couple of birthdays. Dave Vella, that used to play drums for Abandon.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
A guy that I grew up with, his name's Will Davis. Today is his happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Another person I went to church with, Lori Guy, your birthday.
Okay.
A bunch of people.
Okay, and?
Trevor Allen from Texas, a friend of mine.
Okay.
R. Kelly?
Yep.
What?
Wow.
He gotta get out of his closet.
You got that quick.
Listen to what this is. This is I believe I can play.
This is like the only song we can play from him.
Yeah, just about.
Well, I'm playing it.
I mean, I don't see nothing wrong. I used to think
that I could not go on. Why didn't he make more music like this?
Because his music didn't make a bunch of money. No, that's probably not true at
all. Some people would say that he... never mind.
All right. It's R. Kelly's birthday.
R. Kelly is 45.
R. Kelly is 43.
He's actually 47 years young.
And his latest girlfriend is 17.
Is that right?
Let's continue.
All right, let's move on.
Ooh!
Stephen Hawking, physicist, celebrating a birthday today.
See what you did there.
Okay, super smart dude.
Is that the dude that guests on Big Bang Theory randomly?
Is he the guy in the wheelchair?
Yeah, he's the guy in the wheelchair. Yeah. Okay. He also guests on South Park.
I was choosing the...
I'm sorry.
Well, he's in a wheelchair.
I know.
And doesn't he use like an electronic voice or something?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. He's the physicist, Stephen Hawking.
Yes.
He's having a birthday.
High science. Experimental.
59.
No, friend.
Oh, really?
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure. 61.
72.
72. Right? Yeah, I thought he was.
But he looks good for his age. All right. You guys probably never even watched this next show. I did, however.
No.
Yep. It's time for the Newlywed Game.
Captain Kangaroo!
With host Bob Eubanks.
Bob Eubanks.
Bob's celebrating a birthday today.
Right. Bob Eubanks.
Biggest smile on TV.
Mine is.
All righty.
Bob Eubanks is 67.
71.
He's 76.
Ah!
You lose.
So?
I didn't watch this next show, but I'm aware of it.
Lone Ranger. The end of the Civil War was near when quite accidentally. Wait. Our hero who sneezed abruptly
seized retreat and reversed it to victory. F-Troop.
F-Troop. I'm like, I remember this, from Nick at Night.
Yeah, Larry Storch of F-Troop. Celebrating a birthday.
Wait, is this like an old black and white show?
Yes.
Or is this, okay.
Well, but it went color too, though, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. It's an old, like, funny army
show. So he's like 81.
Yeah. Probably up there. 83.
91.
91.
91. Wow.
Yeah, right. That's old. Yeah.
We haven't even been in, like, the right decade.
Grandpa Friend's old like that.
Yeah. So from Star Trek The Next Generation.
Space.
And actually also starring in True Blood. In Star Trek, by the way, she played Ensign Ro Laren. And on another show...
I'm a vampire.
On another show, she played Admiral Kane.
Admiral Kane.
Battlestar Galactica.
Ah, BSG.
Yep.
Colin loves BSG.
Yeah, I watched it all too.
Couldn't get past the terrible acting.
I'm a vampire. I'm a vampire, Steve. I'm a vampire.
Michelle Forbes.
Michelle Forbes.
Michelle Forbes.
The inventor of Forbes magazine.
Alrighty.
She is, I have no idea.
Me either. 45.
I'm going to say 51.
49.
Ah!
You guys are kind of in there for not knowing anything about BSG or, you know.
Dance.
Are you dancing?
I'm always dancing.
My arms are crossed. I refuse to dance, but my hips are doing something weird.
At any moment, you can assume that I'm shaking it.
Nice. Anyone?
I'm twerking!
You gotta use your Shazam to figure this out, or what?
No. Yeah.
And Tim's already yelling at you.
Maybe.
Well, I know a birthday today, but I don't remember.
Wait.
Yeah, this is exactly who I thought it was.
I can't remember who
I knew this birthday, actually.
Well, who is it?
Because, you know, you already referenced one birthday. I don't think this birthday's cooler. I didn't rock this record a lot. Do you have anything from Labyrinth?
Oh.
Is this
David Bowie?
This is David Bowie's birthday.
Booyah.
Yeah.
I knew it was Bowie's birthday. Come on, man. Two great musical legends.
It's pretty crazy.
Born on the same day.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. David Bowie's birthday.
Too bad only one of them's still alive.
Says you.
Ah! He just went home.
I feel like the other dude's a space odyssey, and he's out there somewhere.
Probably.
Not really.
So how old do you think David Bowie is now?
55. Maybe,
really?
Maybe older.
61.
67.
Ah!
Yep. All right. This one's even better, Steve-O. No?
This is what it
Bond?
Sounds like every time I go to the bathroom.
Which Bond theme is this?
Goldfinger.
This is Goldfinger. Okay.
Goldfinger! We would have known if we'd have
waited.
It's
Shirley Bassey's birthday.
The man with the Midas touch. The man with the Midas touch.
Nice.
She did the song. She did Diamonds Are Forever and Moonraker as well.
This is not better than David Bowie.
Yeah, it is.
I will say Goldfinger is one of the greatest Bond movies of all time. Do you expect me to talk? No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die. Yeah. Dude.
I've never seen it. Is it a Sean Connery? Is it a Sean Connery?
Yes. Yeah.
Nice.
One of the raddest. Oh. He was cool, man.
Well, it's Shirley Bassey's birthday.
Shocking.
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 Ah, so good. Oh, such a rad movie.
Okay. She is 73.
81.
77.
Ah!
Okay, so what other birthday do I not know about?
Are you being serious now? You don't have any other birthdays today?
No, I don't have any more.
Are you being serious right
now? You're not being serious.
Oh, that's because he's dead.
That's what I was saying a while ago.
Who died?
Freaking Elvis Presley.
Today's the king's birthday.
Are you kidding me? You better cue up Elvis right now.
We'll get to it.
No!
We'll get to it. You get me all out of order.
Your kisses lift me higher.
Okay, so we're to dates.
You got me all shook up.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
On this date in what year, George Washington delivered the first State of the Union address in New York City?
George, did you say W or?
George Washington.
Oh.
Sir.
The first
State
of the Union address ever.
I thought it was George Washington Bush. Doesn't the W stand for Washington?
I don't know. All right, let's see. We became a country. In 1776, we declared our independence from the Royal British Empire.
This was his first address to the nation?
Yeah, but...
As president?
Yeah.
This was as president. And that... I'm going to say 1781.
Oh, man. Fine. 1780.
1790.
Ah!
Yeah. On this date in what year, Ella Grasso became governor of Connecticut, becoming the first woman to serve as a governor in the United States.
She's a lady.
Who did, the first one who did not succeed her husband.
Oh. First governor.
1978.
1965.
Ah! All right. On this date, in what year the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed, which, what is it now? What do you think, you know?
It's got to be at least 13.
It's like a 15, something like that.
Oh,
okay?
you were right.
The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed over the 2,000 mark for the first time ever. This date in what year?
Sheesh.
97.
2004.
1987.
Ah! That was a good year.
Yeah, that was a good year. Okay. On this date... In what year, Russian cosmonaut Valery Polyakov of Soyuz TM-18 left for Mir?
Mir!
He would stay on the space station until March 22nd, 1995 for a record 437 days in space.
That's ridiculous.
Well, obviously it was 1983 then.
Okay.
Okay.
Right?
1982? 83. What'd you say? What was the last date you said? 94?
95. Oh, yeah. I kind of gave.
All right, so 93 then.
That's what...
1994.
Sorry, my bad.
1994.
1994.
Then I was in a record over a year amount of days. Lies.
All right, so today is...
Hey, man.
Conan, try.
Today, along with being Elvis's birthday, it's Argyle Day.
Oh, man! I've been wearing a stupid Argyle hoodie all week.
And this is what took you guys so long getting to work today. It's Bubble Bath Day.
Yep.
It is.
You know, bubble baths, they're more complicated than most people would think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to do them just right.
All
right.
Yeah, because you want to have some water in the tub before you start pouring the bathtub stuff in.
It's all about consistency of the bubbles.
Right, because if you pour the bubble bath in too early... Then it just starts foaming up, and then it's weird. But if you do it too late, then you don't get enough bubbles.
Yeah. All right.
So you're right.
It's also English Toffee Day.
Mm. Go.
It's Midwives Day.
Right.
Nice.
And, well, Clay's not coming in today, is he?
Nope, no, that's tomorrow.
Today is Show and Tell Day at work.
Oh, okay.
Remember back in school, you know, when you did Show and Tell?
Yeah.
Bring your favorite pet, maybe your baby brother.
Maybe your...
Some kind of a ribbon or medal you won, and...
Maybe your friend's greatest fear.
Proud center of attention for a few minutes. Today's the day to do that at work.
Nice.
That is all.
Is that why you brought us this French press? Show and tell.
Well, look at that.
Right.
How was it?
It was pretty good.
Pretty great.
Not good. That's all.
Yeah.
We got to take a quick break.
Ah!
It's Wednesday, man.
Yeah, it is.
Coming up, we're going to be talking with Samuel Williamson, the author of Is Sunday School Destroying Our Kids?
Is it? We'll find out.
How moralism is suffocating grace. It's going to be an interesting conversation.
It sounds like a harsh thing, but after reading some of the book and the synopsis and stuff, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I think everybody should take a look at it. We put a link up on the Facebook to the book's website, to his belief net or whatever it is. Anyway, the link to his website's on our Facebook. Check it out.
We're also going to be talking with our greatest rivals in the universe. Coming to terms. Possibly friendships.
Yeah.
On the airwaves.
Boom, boom.
We'll see what happens.
What's going to happen? Nobody knows.
Buck and Dex on the way.
Oh, are we talking to them today? Great. Enemies.
Quick break. Right back with some Andrew Bell. Got a culture shock from the bravery and more. Team Awesome Morning Party.
Right now.
Static Radio.
Traffic on the road. What's it like? Who knows me?
Right now, traffic is pretty good.
All right.
That's it. No, I'm just kidding. We have construction at I-25 in Paseo. Also, road construction right lane closed at Alameda Boulevard West between San Pedro Drive and I-25 Service Road. They are building this the best interchange ever made on this green earth.
Yeah,
and it's going to take a while.
Like 3.7.
That's what we're saying. We're like 3.5 years.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Give them boys a year, they going to be signed.
Hey, we're going to give away some tickets today.
That's right. Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast, right here on the Calvert campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669. What did you get this morning?
Tickets to ride. Traffic. No. It's looking good out there.
I got an Americano.
I got a dirty chai latte. That's right.
Dirty chai.
It's a disgusting drink, but I'm trying to wean myself off so much coffee. So I've gone down to tea and espresso, which is probably counterproductive. You're welcome.
Man, I've been trying to drink extra water in the new year.
Yeah.
I don't love it.
Speaking of extra water, I need to drink a lot of water because today I go back to see my boy Nick. At the CrossFit
action
over at the West Side, whatever desert something. I'm over there,
man,
and it's going to suck, but that's fine. I'm gonna keep doing it. I am committed, and I will. I am pot committed at this point.
Gosh, I'm gonna not.
I'm stoked. This is how I felt when I first started exercising, like in general.
Yesterday, we went to the store and bought jump ropes. Yep. I'm like, I'm going to help.
Yeah,
I'm going to do cardio with you.
You can jump rope.
Yeah.
This guy, on the other hand, cannot.
So we bought jump ropes because we were thinking, yes, cardio, get it together. Keep your cardio up so CrossFit's good for you.
Yep.
Because I refuse to do CrossFit.
Yeah.
But I will rock the cardio part.
After I got home and started telling Steve-O what we had done, he was like,
no. And then yesterday, you're just like, no. It started in my neck, and now my entire body
hurts. Sore. But it's good. It's a good sore. It's like, I guess I did something.
Yeah.
Something good, I hope.
Yeah, I got winded yesterday trying to jump rope.
Yeah.
I seriously did. So I was like, yeah, I know I can't do this CrossFit, but that's okay with me.
It's harder out here.
I'm not training to be Batman.
I am training
to be Batman. I don't need to be a
Somebody's
got to
defend the city.
See, exactly.
There's a lack of defenders.
I could be like the Oracle who's back in the cave.
You could. You can be computer
who
guy.
Just rocks the computer stuff.
And I'll be like, I need a scan on this building. And you'll go, hang on.
That's
next,
totally
I'm
me.
Almost done with this level. Hang on. Okay. Gosh. What did you need? By that time, I will have been shot by criminals.
I'm sorry. I'd be the worst sidekick ever. Static.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, dude. So, couple things, man. I'm a level one CrossFit instructor. And, dude, Steve, you come at it a couple different ways, man.
Okay.
All right. First way is most of my athletes are like 50-something females.
Oh.
That are like not Batman.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because Batman's a dude, but
right,
yeah.
And dude, stellar observation.
Stellar.
And depending on what comic book you're reading, he's not 50.
Right.
But anyway,
or he could come at it like, you know, be Mateo's like coach on the side. So like you're not doing it, but you're super smart about it. Like, so he's the guy doing the physical punishment.
Right.
You're the guy just telling him like, this is why you're feeling this.
I could do
and
that.
This is why you're feeling that, dude. There are endless resources online.
Thanks, man.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Hello.
Up here.
Static.
Hey, hello.
Hey.
Static. Hi, guys.
Hey.
How are you?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah. Good to hear your voices.
Good to hear you guys.
Are you guys ever going to go to lunch with us like you've been saying you wanted to?
Oh, yes.
Oh, man.
One day.
Oh.
We've been pretty booked up in this new year.
Have you?
Yeah, tons of people are like, hey, you guys are cool.
Wow.
You guys are funny. Maybe we'll hang out with you. And we're like, Steve-O, that person said they wanted to hang out with us.
Oh, man.
And then that person's always like, oh, wait, we thought you guys worked at a different radio station. Sorry.
Okay, here's a... you guys have kids, so you get this. Teo is like the shiny new toy that they just got for Christmas. So everybody wants to hang out with him right now. And like yesterday. Okay, yesterday we were walking to Walmart. And we're in the parking lot. And you know the parking lots of Walmart. First of all, we're at the Coors and I-41, so it's already like Sketchville. And so we're walking in, and this girl starts screaming, ooh, hey, you so sexy. Come here. I need to talk to you. Yeah, she had, like, this crazy Jamaican accent.
I thought she was Russian.
No, it would have been like, you, moose and squirrel, come to me.
Yes, you come to me. Ah, yes. So she starts screaming, and I, of course, immediately go, oh, she's talking to me. And she goes, no, you. And so then Matt starts walking over there. She's like, I must know your name. I am not making this up.
No, and I said, I was like, it's Matt.
Come to me, Matt. Come to me.
Wow.
She sounded like Miss Cleo.
Yeah.
And so he's like, oh, I got to get some stuff. I'm sorry.
I'm going to Walmart.
So then we go inside the store and we shop and we're trying to take our time, you know, in hopes that she's not there because she's just kicking it in the passenger seat of a car.
She had one of those dumb animal hats on.
Yeah, yeah.
Where the ears and then it hangs. You know, it's stupid. I can't describe it.
So we're leaving, and unfortunately, we're parked near their car, and they're still there. So we start walking back to the car, and she immediately starts yelling once again to Matt. Matt, please come to me. This was my favorite part. You come to me. You have really nice butt. Please come to me.
Come on, really?
I'm not making this up. And she goes, your friend, not so much, but you.
Yeah. And so then I said, no, Cleo, we have to leave.
And he really said that. She sounded like Miss Cleo. I don't know.
Miss Cleo died. She's not alive anymore.
I know. No, well, apparently now she's back, and she's like 20 years younger and stalking people in Walmart parking
lots. She totally saw it coming, too.
That really happened to us yesterday, and I wish I could say that's a one-time thing, but it happens all the time with this guy.
Wow.
It's weird.
Well, the reason why we called you is because we have AFI coming up on the 11th.
I know!
And you hit me up a couple days ago asking for tickets, and I was thinking we would have tickets, and then we came in on Monday, and we find out that we didn't have any tickets.
I know.
But then we just found out we have tickets!
Yeah!
Hooray!
All is right with the world!
Well, no, not really, because you're going to have to try a game.
Oh, man.
We're going to have to play a game?
Yes!
Can I show you guys my R2-D2 impression?
No, we don't want to hear it.
Come on.
That was pretty good, though.
That was pretty good.
Now give me those tickets.
I mean, let's be honest.
All right. So out of the two of you,
Oh, man.
Who do you want to play?
I'll play.
Teo, okay.
I've never
played. Mateo, bag it. All right, this is for AFI tickets.
This is for tickets to AFI.
I got nothing to lose, man.
Oh.
I live my life quarter mile at a time.
All right, the game is called Ear, Nose, or Throat.
Dude.
Awesome.
You got this. He's really good at quiz up, so I believe in you. The human body one, you're really good at this. You better
do this. This is kind of a different spin on ear, nose, and throat because it's not really about the body. It's about things. Well, you'll see. Yeah, we're going to tell you the name of an item.
Okay.
And then you tell us from which in 2013 it was reported removed by an emergency room.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
Gosh. All right. Okay, I say it was removed from the ear, nose, or throat.
So, yes, two out of three.
Two out of three. You got to get two out of three to win AFI tickets.
All right, we'll try.
And if we lose, how about this? Because we have a parking pass and a pair of tickets for the Lady Lobos tonight. If we lose, you guys have to go see the Lady Lobos.
I've got a little tiny baby. I think you can feel what I'm talking about, Siva.
You'll love it.
You want these tickets or not, huh?
Yeah, let's go for it.
All right, here we go. Here's your first item.
Oh, come on, Teo.
Then you tell us, Mateo, if it's ear, nose, or throat.
Okay. I believe in you.
Here we go. Plastic eyeball.
Hmm. Wait, what?
Plastic eyeball.
So this was removed in an emergency
room
from
in 2013.
Someone's...
From an ear, nose, or throat.
It's not a throat.
I'm going to say nose.
You're going to go with nose. Yeah. What do you think about that, Steve-O?
Well, I think it would be either nose or ear. There's no way it's throat, because that's just, they would suffocate. So,
well, that would make sense why they would have to go to the emergency
right.
room.
So you said nose?
I said nose.
I'm going to go with nose. I think nose, because like Total Recall, I can just see it happening.
It's a good point. You're right! Yeah! It is nose! Yeah! Good job! Woo!
Yes!
Thanks, man.
We got this!
Gotta get one more to win.
One more. One more to win.
I believe in you.
I wanna win!
Make this happen. Make this happen for me.
Okay.
For us, I mean. For us. Make this happen for us.
For us.
Good grief.
I believe in you.
All right. Ear, nose, or throat. This was an item that was removed by an emergency room in 2013.
Okay.
A whistle. A whistle.
A whistle.
A whistle.
And it can be nose again?
It could be nose again.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It could be any one of the three.
Well, I'm going to say nose again.
Wait.
Go ahead, Steve-O. You can chime in, Steve-O.
Well, I'm just thinking because it's a child possibly, right?
Yeah.
So if they were trying to play with the whistle, and then it lodged in the throat, because normally when you're playing with the whistle, the most... normal place that you'd play with a whistle.
That's why I'm saying nose.
Okay, right. Or because they were trying to like blow it through their nose to make the
whistle.
Or
they were trying to hear the whistle sound a lot closer.
Crap! They're all logical!
Mateo, would you like to stay with nose?
Yeah, I'm going to keep nose.
Oh.
Steve, you're losing it.
He's losing it. He really did just lose it.
That's too logical.
His pants fell down.
I feel like it's too logical.
Dex? I'm so sorry, it was throat.
I knew it!
Dang, he knew it.
I told you!
That's okay.
Gosh! Phone a friend!
Phone a friend. You're right there, I don't have to call you.
All right, this is so much fun. One more?
One more.
You gotta get one more to win. One more.
Oh my gosh, dude.
This is for all the marbles or nothing. All
right, cool.
This is it.
Let's do
ear,
it.
Nose, I love the sound of desperation in Steve-O's voice right now.
I've never been on this side of it, and I hate it. So no wonder we never get phone calls.
Let me tell you guys what I'm playing for here, though. It's kind of a win-win for me, because if I don't win the tickets, then I get to just kind of go out on a date with my wife.
Yeah,
his wife finally flies back in town
that day.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So I'm not
Wait,
really...
Wait, are you sabotaging our date, bro?
It's sabotage!
All right, guys. Ear, nose, or throat.
Okay.
Come on, man.
We're going to give you the item. You tell us from which in 2013 it was reported removed by an emergency room.
Okay.
Heart-shaped gem.
Oh gosh. That's ridiculous.
What are people doing?
A heart-shaped gem.
Teo. Okay. Well, let's think about this.
Okay.
Heart-shaped gem.
I can't think. It hurts too much.
Okay, wait.
Because it's lodged somewhere.
Okay, you're a musician. You use in-ears, right?
Yeah.
Like for monitors?
Sometimes.
Like a heart kind of shape like your ear, so a child could easily get that deep into the ear. Why would it be in the throat?
I don't know. Was it the heart of the ocean gem? From Titanic?
Wait, it's a heart-shaped gem. That's all I can say. It's a heart-shaped gem.
Like a real gem or like a toy?
It's a heart-shaped gem.
It's probably not a real gem.
We need more than this.
I'm sure it's real.
Like Jim and the... What was it? Jim and the Rockers?
Yeah!
She's truly outrageous.
We're going to need an answer.
Okay. Oh, gosh! I'm stalling!
I'm going to say throat.
You got throat?
This is what I'm thinking. Maybe somebody was trying to smuggle this thing, assuming it's real, and they tried to swallow it.
And they tried to swallow it, and it got lodged in their throat. That is a really good logic, so if you don't get it right, I'm still going to be pissed, but less.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
I'm so sorry, that's incorrect.
No!
I get to go out with my wife.
No!
Win-win, guys.
Gosh. Eva gets to change dirty diapers.
That's right.
It was,
sorry,
the nose.
I make my own luck.
Gosh.
Heart-shaped, Jim.
I almost went with nose again.
You know what, though?
What?
Tail, you're right. This is a win-win because you get to go on a date with your wife. Steve-O, you get to spend some quality time with your children.
Yeah.
And somebody from the Edge Army is going to win tickets to AFI.
There you go.
This is awesome. A win.
Hey, tell the Edge Army I said you're welcome.
Yeah. Wait. You're wearing a camouflage shirt today. Are you part of the Edge Army?
Who told you?
Did you?
Guys, did you guys tell him?
We'll see you guys later.
See you later, boys.
Bye. Fucking Dex, love you guys.
Love ya.
Why?
Man. I really did almost go with nose on that last one. It's okay. We're extending goodwill between radio stations here
in the Albuquerque
area.
I just don't even know how to...
Maybe you can text Dex and say, hey, can I please have those tickets anyway?
That's okay. I'll spend some quality time with my family.
Hey, just think of it this way. We gave somebody else some tickets.
That's true.
To a concert.
All right.
There you go.
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Right now.
Static.
That show is the broadcast equivalent of being punched in the face.
Team Awesome Morning Party. Good morning. On Static Radio.
Good morning.
I'm sorry, Steve-O. Gosh.
It's okay.
I lost in a contest on the radio. Steve-O's been crying ever since.
Hey, it's my job to talk to you on the air, so I felt like I need to at least start talking to you again.
Gosh. Hey, you know what we should do?
Yeah.
Since we lost it.
Yeah.
I lost it. I think we should give something away.
Ooh!
I should do that as penance.
As penance?
As penance.
That's funny. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking with Sam Williamson, author of the book, Is Sunday School Destroying Our Kids?
Yeah, for some reason I just got this like thing ingrained in me that says, yeah, grace is cool, but you better do everything right,
yeah,
just in case.
How Moralism Suffocates Grace is the subtitle, and I cannot wait to talk to him. It's going to be interesting. We've been reading his book, and gosh.
Yeah.
So if you'd like to get a question in for Sam, it's easy. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio.
Yeah, let me look at how many questions we have so far.
Yeah, yeah.
Check it out. Ready?
Boom.
Let's see. Mark the bus
intense rider
said he was going to ask a question.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Bunch of Sunday school teachers saying, oh man, I'm
so
jumping
long
on board
to load. Because we have zero questions. Man, you people are on it today.
Coming up, we'll be talking to him in the 8 o'clock hour. So if you'd like to get a question in for him, facebook.com/mystaticradio. Now, coming up tonight, 7 p.m. at the Pit, the UNM Lady Lobos are taking on Wyoming. We're playing, the men are playing Wyoming in Wyoming.
Yep.
But dude, if you'd like to score tickets to tonight's game and a parking pass that makes it so much easier to enjoy said game and not having to get there 7 hours early.
Yeah.
And not having to worry about where you're going to park because, hey, it's taken care of. We want to give that to you. It's easy.
I got a
pop quiz.
You should try to win these just for the parking pass, honestly.
505-338-3700 is the phone number. It's 505-338-3700. Up for grabs a pair of tickets to see the Lady Lobos tonight in the Pit, along with the parking pass.
Call in right now. 505-123-456-789.
Look, I get it. It's not AFI tickets.
It's
338.
Not it's Lady Lobos. People like basketball.
I know. I love it.
It's in the Pit. I can't wait
to take you to a game.
The Pit of Despair. Of Despair.
It's crazy.
That's what everybody tells me.
I keep plugging it and like in life to you, saying how crazy these experiences are.
Life
at the Pit.
Plug.
But I don't think you really know.
I really don't know.
How amazing.
I want somebody to call in right now and win these tickets.
Static.
Mello. I'm not going to win these tickets. I just got to say, hey, dude, me and my wife last night watched Enough, and I thought of Mateo.
Watched Enough?
Enough with J-Law?
Oh, man.
No clue.
Yeah.
No clue.
J-Law's in it. Thank you for thinking of me.
Yeah, for sure. But let me play this game, man. Just don't give me no tickets.
Okay.
So how about this? If you win these tickets, Pool Boy, since you're in Las Cruces, the person on line two, if you win them, you're like going for the friend on line two. How's that?
Okay, sounds good.
All right. We got a round of trivia for you. It's a pop quiz. I got three questions for you. Got to answer them as fast as possible. They're not difficult.
Okay.
I hope you can do this. Johnny Depp, well known worldwide as Captain Jack Sparrow, but his character in this 2013
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Not yet.
You said quick.
Yeah, but that was
the question
too quick.
Wasn't over yet.
Uh-oh. His character in this 2013 movie bombed. In which movie did he play Tonto?
Oh, Lone Ranger.
Boom. See? It's pop quiz on box office bombs, by the way. Number two, Steve Carell's movie The Incredible Burt Wonderstone cost $30 million to make, but only brought in $22
million. Oh,
yeah.
I never saw that.
In what that other good. Movie this last year did Steve Carell play Brick Tamland?
Oh, my God.
No, come on. Brick Tamland.
He played Brick.
He played Brick. I love that movie.
This year.
This year, 2013?
Yep.
Yeah, it came out like a month ago.
Three.
I'm done.
Okay. All right. You try to leave.
Thank you for thinking of me.
Love you. Static.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Can't complain.
Good.
Are you ready to play some trivia for a pair of tickets to see the Lady Lobos?
I can try.
All right. Here we go.
It's real easy.
It's a pop quiz, all right? 2013 box office bombs is your category. The first one our last caller got, so if you were listening, hopefully you know the answer. Johnny Depp, well-known worldwide as Captain Jack Sparrow, but his character in this 2013 movie was not well-received. In what movie did he play Tonto?
Lone Ranger.
All right. Number two. Steve Carell's movie, The Incredible Burt Wonderstone, cost $30 million to make, but only brought in $22 million. And what other movie this year does Steve Carell play Brick Tamland?
Movie Brick?
Yep.
Yes.
He plays character
he
Brick.
He plays
in this
a character.
Film.
It's a sequel.
Sequel that released in theaters in December.
It was about a month ago.
I can't get that one.
The Human Torch was denied a bank loan.
Thank you for calling. Static.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
All right, so the answer to the first question, can I just say it right now?
Yes. Sure.
It's Lone Ranger.
Okay.
Answer to the second question is Anchorman 2.
Thank you.
Oh.
All right, this one, lightning quick. You got to get it. I believe it's easy. Will Smith was in a film this year, After Earth, that bombed at the box office. However, on television, he was the Fresh Prince of what town?
Bel-Air.
Boom! Oh.
It was so easy!
It was so easy!
That's the easiest contest we've ever done.
So easy, a caveman could do it.
That's right.
Wait,
here's one more contest. Who's better looking, me or Steve-O? Go!
You're both so pretty.
No, not according to the
correct
girl at
answer.
The Walmart parking lot.
No, he got it. It was a trick question.
Oh, okay.
Just go with it. Good job. You win. Lady Lobos ticket.
All right. Woo! We got a pair of tickets to Lady Lobos tonight and a parking pass for you. So hang out on the line, all right?
All right. Thank you.
All right. There you go. It's just that simple. That's how we do. We got to take a quick break. Coming back in the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking with Samuel Williamson, author of Is Sunday School Destroying Our Kids? Or How Moralism is Suffocating Grace. It's going to be an interesting conversation if you'd like to get a question in. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Right around the corner, our dear friend Ethan Luck.
Woo!
It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Right now.
Static.
Let the broadcasting of the disturbed continue.
Time for more from Team Awesome Morning Party on Static Radio.
Enjoy the show.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Welcome to Team Awesome Morning Party. Steve-O and Mateo with you.
Hello.
And I've been looking forward to this for some time now.
Yes.
We've been teasing it. We've been talking about it. Get to Facebook. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Hanging out with, an author we just discovered.
Yes.
His name is Sam. Can I call you Sam?
Yeah, you please call me Sam, because if you call me Samuel, I think I'm in trouble.
Right, exactly. See, my mom is allowed to call me Steven, so...
Yeah, and my wife calls me Samuel when I'm in trouble, too.
See, there
though.
You go. Yeah, I said that, and then I realized my wife's going to call me Steven.
The weirdest
later
thing, my whole family calls me Samuel, and my name's Matthew. It's the strangest. I don't get it. I think they thought I was somebody else.
Yeah, you're like, man, I'm screwed.
Yeah, when they call you Samuel, you really are in trouble.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, what's happening? Okay.
Sam Williamson, founding director of Beliefs of the Heart and author of this rad book that I'm really excited to get into. So, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks a lot. This is really fun. You guys are great. I've been listening to you a little bit online, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. It really is. We do a show on Wednesdays, actually, at 9 o'clock. It's coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, called Shock Therapy Live, where we really dig into topics, whether it's sexual abuse, masturbation, cutting, and homosexuality. And it's really a show where we try and focus on aspects that aren't discussed from the pulpit in your youth group. And I feel like this is the beginning of that, because
I can't believe you just said that, because I was thinking you guys actually have a show called Shock Therapy. That's sort of my title, is Shock Therapy.
There you go. That's perfect. Yeah, it's called Shock Therapy Live every Wednesdays at 9 a.m. with Pastor Nate Heitzig. And that's it. It's not a theological show. It's a heart show. What's going on with your heart, and how can we point you in a biblical direction lovingly? And we get some interesting phone calls. I try to be an unshockable listener, but there are times where I'm taken aback by people go
or
through
emails.
Crap.
Yeah.
People go through things, man. And so
part of loving them is letting them be honest and real.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of feel like your book is the start of that, because I grew up in church. I grew up Baptist, and I kind of felt like, man, this is something that needs to be discussed. The title of your book is Sunday School Destroying Our Kids? Or How Moralism Suffocates Grace. And even just the title is like, man, we mentioned it this morning, and a Sunday school teacher called in and says, hey, man, I volunteer my time week in and week out, and I'm very interested to hear what you have to say. So let's talk about this. I mean, let's talk. Set it up for us. Give us a preface and intro, because reading your preface, it was like, I got slapped in the face. Face slap.
Look, the deal is that too many people confuse Christianity with just morality. Now, you know, we want morality. The world needs morality. We need more justice in the world, right?
Right.
But all the religions teach morality. What's the difference between all the religions and Christianity?
Yeah.
The difference is grace. The difference is, even though we try to be moral, we don't make it. We're not good enough, and we need God to say, I love you anyway.
Yeah,
and to reach into us. If we don't teach grace to our kids, we're just going to try to teach them to be little moral Pharisees.
that's true.
Man. Yeah. You had this in the preface, I believe, about grace being an ecosystem. And you talked about Yellowstone Park and the wolves and getting rid of the wolves and what it did to the rest of that ecosystem, basically destroying everything, and how in Sunday school we're kind of taking away the bad guys and making the bad guys the good guys, because
right
whether it was David, you know, just had he was a man after God's own heart, and he was pure and wonderful, and so God made him king. He was an adulterer, he was a murderer.
We sort of brush those parts under the rug, don't we?
So my question, though, to start is, I have a 10-year-old, I have an 8-year-old, and I have a 1-year-old. This year, we started going through the Bible as a family because we didn't do enough devotion time together. And so we're going through it, and obviously, you know, kicking off in Genesis, we're up to Abraham and telling his story. And from the very get-go, you know, Cain and Abel, and it's like, hey, Cain, if you do right, you'll be lifted up. But if you do wrong, beware, because sin is crouching by the grave, and it seeks to destroy you. So, you know, I'm going through these stories, and I realize I am telling these same stories as a good versus bad. Hey, look at the good son versus the bad son, and yet the good son's the one that gets murdered. You know?
So right,
it's like,
of
if
course.
You're just good, you'll get murdered by your brother. Good night, love you guys. So how do you instill that in young, impressionable minds that, you know, that hey, these people are evil, and yet God I shouldn't say evil, just they weren't always the best guys. But God loved him anyway. How do you instill that in a child without them just running off and joining the Sons of Anarchy?
Well, first, you just love them too, because look, if they realize they're blowing it, don't they? I mean, your 10-year-old son knows he's blowing it, or is it a daughter?
All sons, all dudes. So okay. I've got a road ahead of me.
And you know what you do is you love them when they blow it. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, that's the time they know you love them. I mean, if you just love them when they're good, and then you hate them when they're bad, that's not real love, is it?
Right, right.
And so part of it is you just love them. I mean, part of it is the way you live.
Yeah.
Is you just love them love them where they're at.
Yeah.
I think, secondly, when we teach the Bible, we just teach people to be real. Say, let's look at the real characters of the Bible. You know, I find there a lot more hope when I see that Abraham blew it, but God still chose him to be the father of his people. And I can say, that means God can use me, too, because I blow it all the time. Yeah. And you know what? It actually teaches me to be more real. It gives me, like, a door to be real, because I see God loving someone who's blown it. I can say, I can blow it. I can confess it to God. I can be real with God. I can be real with my friends.
Right. I think there's this pendulum swing where either, as you referenced this in the beginning, about taking the good parts and yet leaving out all the bad, or the flip side of that is using all the bad, like whether it's, hey, God loves you, God hates sin, and some focus so much on that shame, hating sin aspect, and don't focus on the love, or on the flip side, they're so focused on love that they forget that there are consequences to our actions still.
Right.
How do we, because, man, it's 2014, and right now, the hot topic, we're going to talk about this on Thursday with Pastor Brian Nixon for Theology Thursday, but it's a big thing right now to say, well, my job is to love, not to judge, and yet it's kind of this stamp of approval of everything. So how do you teach love, or how are you loving and yet not condoning? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, listen, I think when Scripture says don't judge, Scripture all the time is saying certain behaviors are bad. Mm. I mean, if you tell somebody lying is bad, they're not going to say you're judging them.
Or are they?
Well, they might.
You're just judging me, man.
But no, you can say, look, lying is wrong, but I'm not saying you are evil. I'm saying lying is wrong.
Yeah.
Behaviors are wrong. There's nothing wrong with it. Everybody believes that. People who say judging is wrong is saying judging or judging.
Right. It's true.
Right.
So, I mean, the question is, am I saying you, Steve-O, or you, Mateo, are wrong? I'm saying lying is wrong.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I think
a lot. Okay, and let's talk, because the book, the title focuses on Sunday school.
Yeah.
And I know growing up back in the South, and the denomination I grew up in, it was always, you know, by grace you're saved, by grace you're saved, through faith, this not of yourselves, not by works, so that no man can boast, you know, it's the gift of God, you know, and the whole thing. But that at the same time, there's always this implication underlying, but you need to do every single thing right.
Right.
You need to do it right. And if you get it wrong, there's you're the worst. And then you would see it, and I say implied because it was never really spoken that way. You would just see what, like, the ramifications of what would happen to people when they screwed up. You would see people get kicked out of church or get, like, ostracized. You
or
know,
just flat out leave.
Yeah, just flat out leave.
I know you touch on that in the second chapter about the next generation who are just like, you know what, screw this. I'm out. You guys have nothing to offer me. And people are leaving the church in droves. And so, do you...
And so here's the deal. I think, number one, you know, we were talking about grace being an ecosystem. I think most evangelical Christians want to say, hey, be good, love God, love your neighbor. Mm-hmm. I think the first thing we got to do is just say, God, I'm not worth it. I fail every day.
Yeah.
In other words, being real with God enables us to accept his grace. Mm. Just being real. Now, of course we want to teach people to love God and love their neighbor.
Yeah. Right.
But first, let's just admit our failures.
Right.
It makes us humbler. It makes us, frankly, more fun people to be around. You know? And then it teaches our kids to say, it's okay. Just admit your failures. Move on. You know, ask God for forgiveness and ask him for his grace to live better. But let's focus on the grace, not on the rules and legalism.
Yeah. I think what's difficult in that situation, because I grew up very similarly to this kind of the, not character in the book, but to who you're speaking to, basically, of do right. And then I would completely screw it up. And there's this thing inside of us where we almost feel like we have to atone for it. Like, but wait, so grace, so I'm covered by grace, so there's therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus? Wait, while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me? Okay, I get that, but now what do I have to do because I still feel bad, and I need I got to do something to feel better about this.
Yeah. Absolutely, and this is the thing that's great about grace, is, you know, when you first get converted, you say, wow, God loves me.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it gets better.
Mm.
You know, like, just like you're saying, you say, okay, God loves me, but now I screwed up again.
Right.
And you come back and say, oh my gosh, now, I understand God loving me when I never knew him, but now I knew him and I screwed up, he must really love me. I mean, there is a way that we can actually get more life and more joy, even after we screw up as a believer, because we can say, my gosh, God knew I was going to screw up. from the beginning of time, he knew I was going to screw up today, and he still loves me, and he pursues me, and he follows me, and he is making me better.
Right. Yeah.
But he's not snapping his fingers and doing it overnight.
Yeah, that's
you know, but here's the, but the thing is, we keep. I think the biggest problem with Christianity is we confuse it with morality. Mm. The thing is, morality is a result of Christianity, but morality isn't the gospel.
Right.
It's a result of the gospel, but it isn't the gospel. And you know, we always screw up. You know, what was it, Paul in Galatians, that says you start in the spirit and end in the flesh?
Right.
You know, we just do this. I don't know why.
Right. Yeah.
You know, Martin Luther said the Christian life is daily conversion, and I think that's almost right. Now, of course, not
like
theologically. That. You know, I mean, yeah. You're either a believer or not. But there is a way that I think I get converted by the gospel every day.
Right.
I hope.
Yeah, that's important.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the hey man, all right, cool. I said the words, and that's part of that morality system is all right. Or flipping the other side of it, the grace aspect where. You know, growing up in a home I did, my theology was, all right, I said the words, so I'm good.
Yeah.
He loves me no matter what, so I'm going to do whatever the blank I want.
Yeah.
And, yep. And well, God's going to forgive me, and so at night I'm just going to pray, that I'm going to confess to him, and we're all good.
Yeah, and that's funny to me because you would think, I think in a lot of ways we're scared of grace. Like there's a fear of grace because we think, I know I think, I get afraid of it sometimes because I'm like, man, if I take this grace thing too seriously and I don't keep myself in check, am I just going to go and do whatever I want to and then just say, oh, God's grace. But what's funny to me is, as Steve-O just pointed out, you know, that attitude a lot of times stems more from a, I need to make myself feel better, I need to work this out myself attitude rather than, you know, like an accepting God's grace. Because it's like your illustration you gave where the Beauty and the Beast illustration.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Where, you know, Beauty loved the Beast in all of his beastliness.
Ugliness.
Not
yeah.
after, you know, he became beautiful or the prince or whatever.
Yeah.
She didn't love him after he got
I
gotta
say, I think that's my favorite line in my book.
Yeah.
It was pretty good one, man.
You did good.
It was pretty good.
I love Disney illusions. You got me. You got me, Sam.
But I think you're absolutely right. There is a danger that says, hey, you know, if God loves us no matter what, let's go do anything. But, you know,
right.
I think that means we're not really knowing God's love.
Yeah. Yeah.
If we really know God's love, if you really feel God's love in your heart, don't you want to please that person?
Mm. Right.
And I think that, like, who was it? Was it Steve-O or Mateo that said, we're a little afraid of grace?
Yeah, Mateo, yeah.
Yeah, because I think we are a little afraid. Because if we really admit there's something wrong with us, I mean, you know, our self-esteem is in the toilet, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But listen, God esteem can break that low self-esteem. It really can. If
right.
God loves us enough, we can have a joyful life. We really can.
Yeah. Talking with Samuel Williamson, the author of Is Sunday School Destroying Our Kids? How Moralism Suffocates Grace. If you have a question, facebook.com/mystaticradio.
Yeah, we have a couple questions.
Yeah, do you want to get to some listener questions?
I don't know if it's so much a question as it is like a story. Stephanie okay. says, when I began reading the Bible on my own in high school all the way through, I discovered that the nicely packaged stories I had heard in Sunday school were lies. My father used to read to my sister and I, and sometimes we read the Bible, or we read the Bible. I remember the story of Lot and his daughters. Of course, it disturbed my sister and I, but I think I can respect my father more for the way he didn't sugarcoat things or make excuses for what biblical characters did. In fact, he made sure we realized what the ramifications would have been.
Right.
I don't like the bubble characters on felt boards that are used to teach kids about Bible stories. Isn't it clear that the entire Bible is one continuous story, and all the many stories are reflections of God's love story with mankind? Why don't we think kids can understand that?
Hmm.
So she's kind of echoing your sentiment.
Yeah.
And,
man, that was brilliant that what she wrote.
Yeah.
It really was. And, you know, like, not sugarcoating is the truth. Kids understand this.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, listen, so at the end of the book, I talk about Mr. Tappan, my third or fourth grade Sunday school teacher, okay? And he was talking about David and adultery. Now, as a third or fourth-year-old fourth grader, I don't know if I remembered. I don't even know if I knew what sex was. So
right.
I certainly didn't know what adultery was. But he said King David was kissing and dating a woman that wasn't his wife. Mm. Man, I was shocked.
Right.
I still feel that shock, like that betrayal. But then he went and showed Psalm 51 where David says, forgive me according to your loving kindness.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, I mean, that's a Sunday school. So that's a real Sunday school lesson that actually I remember. I'm 56 now, so that was, I don't know, you know, 45 years ago. Mm-hmm. I still remember it. When we teach the gospel, which is, hey, listen, we're worse than we care to admit, but we're more loved than we ever dreamed. It sticks with us. It sticks with me 45 years later.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, David wasn't loved because he was good. David became good because he was loved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huge difference.
Yeah.
That is a huge difference.
Unfortunately, it seems like in our culture right now, people are relatively good. Yeah. There is a good person, though, you know. Yeah, he doesn't go to church or anything like that. But, I mean, he's faithful to his wife, and he's a great dad. He's just a really good guy, you know. And why wouldn't God just, you know, love him? And we were actually doing some research and found out this last weekend that what was it, 64% of all Americans, not Christians, all Americans when surveyed believe they will go to heaven.
Yeah,
because our society says, oh, no, you're a good man, you didn't kill anybody, you know you're not, you know, come on, man, you're not the pedophile, you're a good person. And so we've got this good people thing going around as if we are good. And I think you're right. It starts with the idea that we are broken. We deserve death. We deserve hell. We deserve damnation. Because
and nobody wants to admit that.
No one.
Culture.
That's because it's scary.
Yeah,
it's scary. Absolutely.
Yeah. I love how in one of the things we read about your book, you said there's two kinds of messages that are generally conveyed by the church nowadays. It's you have the people on the one side that love the fact that we don't deserve heaven, and they harp on it constantly.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we are evil. God
gospel
loves us.
Gospel of shame.
Yeah, gospel of shame. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you have the people that are like, no, God loves us. He loves everyone. Love, 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 love. And it just turns into like this mushy morality like you're talking about.
Yeah.
And you said, you pointed out, you know, we need to be in the middle where we know that we don't deserve this, but he does love us so, so much.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, it's the two extremes that you just talked about don't galvanize you. They don't give you life.
Right.
You know, the truth is, when I started dating my wife, I was Prince Charming. No, I mean, I was like, I tipped the waiters, I opened the doors for her, I did all that stuff. But, you know, after she married me, she realized the ogre that she had married, right? I mean, let's be honest.
I got you, girl, you stuck.
But when she loved me when I was an ogre, isn't that a lot more real of a love?
Yeah.
Isn't that a life-changing love? I mean, when she loves the false me, I'm not changed. Mm. But when she loves the ogre me, man, I start loving her so much more.
Wow. That is excellent right there.
Yeah, it is.
So we're talking about grace and moralism, so this balance. So how do we reconcile that? What is the answer for, you know, not just Sunday school teachers everywhere, but what is the answer for us? How do we relate that and get that out and start trying to make a change?
You know, I think the first thing is we just be real. You know, like you were saying, so many of us just want to admit the good parts about ourselves. I'm a good chap. I'm a good person. You know, I don't lie. I haven't stolen. I don't cheat on my taxes. But the truth is, I would not want on Sunday morning someone to make a PowerPoint of every thought that I'd had the previous 24 hours and show it for everybody, you know? I mean, the truth is, I have thoughts that I don't want other people to see. I do things I don't want other people to do. I think there's two problems with moralism. On one hand, there's an arrogance of, I'm a pretty good person, what's your problem?
Right, yeah.
The other problem is just despair. You know, if you set the moral standard so high, I'm so far short, I just despair, I say, what hope is there? The gospel breaks arrogance because we didn't deserve it, so we can't be arrogant, so we can't look down on anybody else either.
Yeah.
But it also breaks despair because no matter what we've done, God has come and paid the price. And he looks at us and he says, you are beautiful.
Yeah.
You are beautiful. I mean, so it breaks arrogance and it breaks despair. And I think that if we embrace that in our hearts, we start reaching out to other people. We love them. We can't look down our nose at them. So therefore, they feel lifted up. And then they don't despair. They can say, Steve-O, Mateo, why do you love me when I just confess to you that I'm a complete jerk? I'm an ogre, you know?
Yeah. Right.
And you say, hey, man, you're not half the ogre I am. You know?
I am the greater ogre.
I am the great ogre.
Well, I think it's true. Mateo and I, this dude is, you know, one of my best friends. Accountability that is so key, and having that person in your life that you can go, dude, I completely screwed up. And we were talking about this last week where we were having a discussion about just dirt in our lives and,
yep.
and the struggles that we still face. And he made a comment that, you know what, man, I'm glad that you come to me, and I'm glad that we're able to discuss these things because it reminds me that I'm not the only one in this. And I think a life verse for both Matt and I has been 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where it straight up says that, man, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man.
Right.
It's like, dude, I'm not the only person that's ever dealt with this. I'm not the only one that's fallen short here. I'm not the only one that's, and it's incredible because it continues to say, but God is faithful. It has nothing to do with your faithfulness. Yeah. It has everything to do with God. And man, I cling to that and the idea that his grace is sufficient for us because his power is made complete in our weakness, in our strengths, not in the times that we are moral and good people. And so it's, but again, talking to children,
I'm learning because my wife and I don't have kids, but we're actually, since we just moved here in the transition time, we're staying with Steve-O and his family.
Yeah.
And so I get to see the interaction, the parent-child interaction. I'm like, gosh, do I want to have kids? I'd rather just have this cat.
Yeah.
This cat doesn't talk back. It scratches me. That's about it.
right. And you still love that cat, even though it scratches up everything.
I do.
And
she's a sweet. Anyway, Panda. Yeah. Our cat's name is Panda. I got to get out of here. Something that Steve-O just said. I think isolation is something that everybody, it's almost like we're all tempted to just isolate ourselves. And when that happens, we become the worst people ever.
Yeah.
And through grace, it's not like I want Steve-O to have these struggles,
right.
You know, but at the same time, I'm thankful that I'm not the only one that does. And I think that's something that grace actively works out in everybody, in every believer's life, is if you, and you have to, like, you have to realize it. You have to actively acknowledge it because you have to fight. And that's what I'm terrible at, is fighting temptation, fighting my habitual sins and whatnot. You know, we're all in that same boat. But yeah, it is common to man. And if we could remember that, then the isolation wouldn't happen as much. Because, I mean, even, you know, if you go back to Genesis in the garden story, like, the tempter got her alone. And once it was just him and her, deception.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what happens to every one of us. We get alone with our thoughts and then our sinful nature, and it's deceiving because we become the worst people in the world, and then grace doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
But that's not the reality. And so when we have community and fellowship with brothers and sisters, you know, then we can realize, wait a second, we're all dealing with this.
Yeah.
I know.
Absolutely, because I think grace breaks the walls of isolation.
Yeah.
It destroys those walls because the way we get connected with each other is not by saying, hey, Steve-O, hey, Mateo, let me tell you how great I am.
Yeah.
That doesn't connect you to me, does
not
it?
Not at all.
But if I tell you what an ogre I am, you start saying, you too?
Right,
exactly.
I mean, that's what connects us. But the only way I can admit that, the only way I can really admit that is to know God's grace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To say, if God really loves me, then I can tell Steve-O and Mateo what an ogre I am.
Yeah.
And then when I can do that to you, you can do it to me, and then you give me life.
Yeah.
Grace is what creates, what breaks isolation, and grace creates real people, people who admit their faults.
People
who can't look down on anybody else because they know their own faults so well.
Yeah. Amen. Talking to Samuel Williamson, we call him Sam.
Oh, no, I'm in trouble again.
Author of Is Sunday School Destroying Our Kids? How Moralism Suffocates Grace. And, dude, it is amazing talking to you because there's so many people, so many listeners to Static Radio either, A, don't identify themselves as a Christian or were a Christian at one time and said, you know what, screw this, this isn't for me, and have somehow found this station and kind of hang out with us. And so we get to talk to some incredible people who have gone through some horribly tragic things, unfortunately, dealing with the church because of some of these issues that you are bringing up in your book. What would you say to someone who's listening who maybe at one time tried to be vulnerable and maybe went to a youth pastor or somewhere to talk to somebody because they were hoping to God they would have that grace and instead were kind of either shunned or expelled from the church
or just swept under the rug.
Yeah, and then they're just standing there going, oh, well, I thought that you were supposed to be okay. And then they walk away. What would you say to someone who's listening right now that maybe has gone through that or is going through that?
You know, first, my heart breaks for you because I understand that. Yeah. I mean, I understand when we become vulnerable and then someone takes advantage of it or they just shun us or they sweep us under the rug, that just hurts. I mean, that makes us 10 times more likely not to be vulnerable in the future.
Yeah.
And so my heart breaks for you, number one, and I say, I applaud you for trying it. My heart breaks for you that it didn't work, but I'd say don't give up on it, because we all need connectedness. You know, even, what is it, in the second chapter of Genesis, God says it's not good for humans to be alone.
Yeah.
We need that connectedness, and I think one of Satan's ways of trying to take us out is to undermine our being real with each other.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's also try to be a little wise, and let's not tell every single person every single story of every single thing that we've done.
Yeah.
And you know, so if you've tried it and it didn't work, don't give up, but try to find somebody else. And, you know, maybe it takes a little while to feel out the relationship before mm-hmm. you really can admit
Absolutely.
Your vulnerability.
Yeah.
But don't give up, because we really need that.
That's a big point.
That is a solid, solid point.
That's wisdom.
Yes, because I think there is a lack of that going on where it's like, man, I completely screwed up, and how am I going to free? It's almost this liberating, I'm just going to tell the world.
I'm going to tell everybody everything.
Yeah.
Expecting that everyone's going to react the same way, and it's not so,
not
you know?
Happen.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's true, but that's the importance of community, is because you grow to know people.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I know, like, with friends of mine, back when we would share struggles, like, if a friend shared a struggle with me, a lot of times that would put the struggle in my head, and then I would be dealing with it later. And I think that's why Paul would say stuff like, you know, but he was like, pick up your brother, but be careful that you don't fall, you know, later. And I'm totally ripping, like, paraphrasing out of it.
So rip the theology there right now.
Yeah. This is Mateo theology. Sorry, everybody. But anyway, yeah, that's it. That's so important that you pointed that out, because that's, you know, we can't just run around open book willy-nilly, because that's not going to help anybody either.
No,
it isn't, but we'll grow in wisdom.
Yeah,
you know, we keep trying. We'll get better.
Yeah, well, it's just the importance of actually getting to know someone, and we're talking more about a Facebook friend ad.
In our world.
I know, right?
Well, my friend on Facebook.
It's funny, because we're talking about this accountability and being real and being honest, and I think another aspect, you're right, you bring up social media, and unfortunately, it has destroyed our true communication, because people are willing to share anything and everything in their life as a status on Facebook, maybe as like a notch in their belt or a proud achievement, or maybe in a vulnerable place, they just are willing to share something. We see some crazy statuses on Facebook all the time, but there's no real connection there.
No. It's no connection.
Online...
That's the real issue. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. So, man, Sam, thank you so much.
Yeah, dude. Thanks for talking.
Hey, you guys are great. This is fun.
Yeah, this is you. You got to keep our number, and we would love to have you on more and more. Talking with Sam Williamson, author of his Sunday School Destroying Our Kids, How Moralism Suffocates Grace. You can find out more at beliefsoftheheart.com, right?
Yep, that's right.
All right.
All right.
Hey, you guys are great. Thank you so much for this time. You guys are gracious.
Oh, hey.
No, you're gracious.
No, you are.
No, you're an ogre of grace.
Oh, you're right. I forgot. I'm an ogre.
I'm an ogre of grace.
Incredible. Coming up at 9 o'clock, don't forget, Shock Therapy Live with Pastor Nate Heitzig. I feel like this topic is going to carry on over. So, Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio if you'd like to hang out. And again, Sam, thank you so much for taking time to hang out with us.
Thank you, guys,
amazing.
Man.
Amazing. Yeah, there you go. Got the brand newest of newest from Jars of Clay for you now. It's called Loneliness and Alcohol.
Hey.
That's how we do. Steam Awesome Morning Party.
Right now.
Static.
Now back to Team Awesome Morning Party on Static Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Team Awesome Morning Party, can I just say, if you missed our interview a few minutes ago with Sam Williamson, you need to podcast us today, bro. Author of the book is Sunday School Destroying Our Kids, How Moralism Suffocates Grace. We actually had a great question on Facebook from a listener. I was bummed.
Yeah.
So we didn't read it.
We didn't read it.
Till afterwards.
Ah.
But Laura asked a question on Facebook about, where do the Ten Commandments line up in the gospel or in the message of grace? Like, what does that have to do with it when you're trying to teach your kids? He actually addresses it in the first chapter of his book. He had a great comment on
Let's hear it.
So I wanted to. He said, in the Garden of Eden, God gave us one rule. It would fit on a Chinese fortune cookie. Don't eat from that tree.
One rule.
One rule!
Uno.
And we blew it. Do you really think God said to himself, I know the problem with the Bible so far. It doesn't have enough rules.
We need more rules.
If we can't keep one rule, we'll certainly fall short of the Ten Commandments. And the hundreds of others.
And so we were talking about how this lends credence to the idea that the Ten Commandments point towards the fact that we can't be perfect.
Yeah, this was great. He said God's primary purpose in Scripture is to reveal himself, his love, and his justice. The rules do show how we are to live, but more importantly, they reveal the character of God, and then they show us how far we fall short of that. Our falling short drives us to God's grace, the grace that is revealed on every page of Scripture, the grace that is God's self-revelation, the grace that reveals his purpose in writing the Bible.
Yeah, a lot of times Paul called it, what, slaves to the law?
Yeah.
Or something like
slaves
that.
Slaves to sin, or now slaves we're slaves to, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just, I'd never heard it put that way before. He gave us one rule in the beginning. And then we, of course, broke the one. We're going to break that one rule.
Our dear friend Paul in Houston said, moralism can be embracing slavery as freedom. And that's a really good...
That's what it is.
It really is, yeah. So I was really excited that we had a chance to talk with Sam Williamson. If you'd like more information on Sam, actually, you can check out his writings at beliefsoftheheart.com.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Founding director of the Beliefs of the Heart, its mission is to help us examine the unexplored convictions that drive us. It's amazing. He spent 25 years in business.
Business.
In the preface, he talks, you know, he tells a little bit about his story, and it's like, man, it's cool.
Yeah.
It's great.
I think the thing with humanity, you know, the problem with moralism is that it assumes that we are all good. And I'm not here to preach, you know, hellfire and damnation, but I am going to say, I don't think that we're all essentially good. I think that we all essentially want to be good.
Yeah.
But think about that, because that opens up a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Why do we all want to be good? Why do we all want to be right?
Yeah.
And then you can take it in a bunch of directions.
And we probably will during Shock Therapy Live. Pastor Nate Heitzig, he's coming in the 9 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
Right now, though, random phone call.
Random Static! Phone
call. Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hi. TJ, are you in a volcano? Are
TJ,
you in a volcano?
We're losing you.
You're in a volcano.
Buddy.
What? You're losing me?
There you go. There you go.
You are.
Okay. Sorry about that. I'm driving to Santa Fe.
Don't move.
So, I'm saying this is totally a God thing, though, because I'm talking to my youth group tonight about salvation, and there have been a few points that I'm trying to like work out in my own head and how to actually like put it in words.
Yeah.
And this entire conversation that you guys just had, I think, has kind of opened up a door for me, because it's something that I've often felt. It's just something that I've had a hard time actually putting into words, I guess.
Yeah. Relating to others.
Yeah. It's something that's like one of those things that, you know, you just kind of like have a brain fart when it comes time to actually explaining it.
Absolutely.
And I've got a group of students that are, in many respects, ground zero as far as their faith. And I think I've fallen into the trap of talking too much about being good.
Mm.
And being good because that's what you're supposed to do, and focusing. I guess I've fallen into that same trap that Sam talked about. It. Making it more about being good. Not so much that God will love you, but being good because you're supposed to.
So you have really good theology on Santa Claus. Because you tell them to be good for goodness sake.
Now I'm trying to, I guess, recreate and represent the whole thing that I've been trying to do all along, but I guess I've been doing it in a poor way.
Yeah.
To put it, in a lack of better terms, just
making it
clear that it's Jesus who loves us despite us.
Yeah. Dude, your conversation right now is an illustration for grace.
It's true.
Because you're talking about how you feel like you failed them because you haven't equated it, like, adequately told them. And all, that in and of itself is that open, honest, like, hey, man, guess what?
Yeah, and that's one of the defining attributes of grace, because it's so difficult to explain, and yet there is this knowledge, you know, of it. It's like it's real, but you can't describe it. Almost, you know, you can describe, like, it's like the wind.
Yeah.
You can describe its attributes. You can see it moving and stuff, but you can't really see
it. Or is it that it's so simple that we just want more?
It's both.
Because it's like, hey, man, Jesus died for you. You deserve death. The wages of sin is death. We all suck. Yeah. All of humanity, we're lame. Mm-hmm. But God loves us so much that he was willing to bring his son, his one and only son, to this earth to shed his blood and die for you. All you have to do is believe in him. Just believe it. Just come to the realization that you are worthless, yet the most worthwhile entity in all of existence, God, who created everything, loves you so much, wanted you to be with him so much so that he was willing to sacrifice his son for you. So if
exactly.
if you just like believe that, then you're good.
It's
but we're like, right. No, I got that. But like now what? Like I need more. It's like, no, you don't.
It's like it says
you're
in
adding
that,
to the gospel of grace.
That Katy Perry song, acceptance is the key to be truly free.
Mm.
It's a rhyme.
So like, hey man, blow it. I suck. I fail. But I want to try better because God loves me so much and I want to make him proud. Doesn't mean I'm always going to get it right, but.
Yeah. It's just hard.
Oh,
it's
man.
So difficult for me to just accept that. That moral trap, you know, that's what morality is, just a trap. It's all it is.
Yeah.
But it's something that we all like long for so much, but we had to have a trump card.
Yeah.
And that's what grace is.
Well, maybe the key then is to focus on God's love, because if we're so focused on God's love and less on this rule and man, if I get this rule right every time, if I, you know, if we're focused so much on God's love for us and what he has already done for us, then maybe it'll empower us enough to go, hey, I'm gonna rock it like this, because Christ, man, it was like the will of the Father, and he just went for it, and no slowing down, and he gave us a pretty good understanding of seeking after the will of his Father in heaven. This is, I'm here to do the business of my Father. That's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to think about adultery. I'm not going to think about, oh, man, but I had this dream last night, and then we get so focused on our failings and our shortcomings that they just ensnare us.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you guys should come teach my youth group.
No. No. I tried that in college, and it didn't work.
Hey, you know what, though? I love stuff like that. So if ever there's a time, and we're throwing this out to all youth groups, and
we can
not
go talk.
Not a, hey, man, here's going to be my three-point sermon, but we would love to talk to the youth. I mean, that's the purpose of Static Radio, and that's what we do each and every day. And so if ever a special hangout and just share our hearts, that's different from preaching a three-point sermon.
It's
and
true.
We would love to do something like that.
I'm not good with the three-point sermons.
Yeah.
I've had
too
many.
Well, neither am I.
TJ, did you know, and we're rambling at this point, but I used to teach the 7th and 8th grade boys Sunday school. I was an intern in college at a church. Those poor kids.
Oh, man.
I know.
That is the worst place to put someone starting out. You're
I know.
Like,
well, here was
the
7th and 8th grade.
This is what would happen. I would try to come up with these plans, these lesson plans and these schemes or whatever. And it, like, eventually I realized after a few Sundays, I was like, they're not going to listen to me. So it pretty much it got to the point to where I would walk in and I'd say, all right. What do you guys want to talk about, sex or the book of Revelation? And that's, we would just, and but that was cool because it allowed me to be really open with those guys. And the really cool thing is I'm still in touch with a few of them.
That's good.
And I've gotten to see them grow up and stuff like that. And then I've had to, like, issue apologies. Hey, there. At one point, I said this, and I was an idiot. Here's why. I hope you're doing well. My bad. See ya. Yeah.
Incredible. TJ, thanks for calling, man.
Yeah, dude.
Thank you, guys.
We'll be praying for you as you try and equate that to, or, you know, relay that to your youths.
Yeah, have fun tonight.
I appreciate that.
All right, man.
Have a good one, guys.
You too.
TJ.
Good dude.
Faithful listener.
Man, we got to play some Journey.
Yeah, we do.
We are taking another journey.
It's come to the end of this journey.
That's right. A new journey begins at 9 o'clock with Pastor Nate Heitzig.
Shock Therapy Live.
That's right. You can get your questions in now. studio@mystaticradio.com. That's our email address. Or hang out with us on Facebook. Facebook.com/mystaticradio. If you missed any part of the show, you can podcast it at our website.
Mm-hmm.
Great show today.
And check it out. Shock Therapy Live is more of an open diary type thing. So if you have issues that you're dealing with on a personal level, you know, things of that nature, then call in or email for Shock Therapy. But we're offering this thing that we're bringing back tomorrow called Theology Thursday. And that's more questions about, you know, certain beliefs of the church or denominational differences or where does this come from? Yeah. Why do we do that? When in history did this happen? You know, because we've got pretty much the smartest man in the universe coming in tomorrow.
That's right. I will be here along with Mateo. Yeah. Oh, you're talking about Brian Nixon?
I was talking about Beanie.
Ah, yes.
But you are the second smartest man in the universe.
Gosh.
Because you are my friend. And that is what makes you the second smartest.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So, amazing.
Get ready for Shock Therapy Live. It's coming up in just a few minutes.
That's right. And don't forget to catch the podcast if you missed any part of our interview with Sam Williamson or just our discussions this morning. Good show.
Good show.
We'll see you guys again tomorrow.
Except
Manana. For me. I'll see you in 6 minutes.
Yeah, he'll be here.
This has been fun.
I think we learned a lot today.
We did.
So much, in fact, that we don't have, you know, time to explain it.
That's right.
We have 17 seconds.
There you go. We'll leave it there. We'll see you guys manana for Team Awesome Morning Party.
Goodbye.
Static Radio.